takes the snap, four-man rush. Lobs one left, into the end zone for Garrett Wilson.
Oh!
One-handed catch! Incredible! Did he get 2 feet down?
Oh.
He did not! Out of the back of the end zone! They say incomplete! Two officials getting together! They're going to make sure. Garrett Wilson thought he toe-tapped for a touchdown.
Incomplete pass, fourth down.
We'll take another look.
Oh, it was a touchdown. Jets Radio, Bob Wischusen on the call. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That was the worst first half of football, maybe of the season, Perloff. But in the second half, plays like that, Garrett Wilson, who ends up getting a shin down in the back of the end zone to complete one of the all-time awesome catches on the season. Well, they turned fortunes around for the Jets, and now Aaron Rodgers is thinking very big.
I think the Jets were going to win that game anyway, but I think that was a very interesting call. I think if it wasn't a Thursday night crap fest against the Texans,
yeah.
And that was a really interesting reversal.
You didn't think it was a touchdown?
I think it was a touchdown, but I think they easily could have called it the other way and not been wrong. It was, is that possible? I know it's a total cop out.
I think the shin was down before the knee, but again,
but
this is not what replay was generally made for. It ended up, I think, being the right call. The shin was technically down 1 millimeter before the knee.
I will say that if they called him down, it wouldn't have been wrong either, because you could argue. I mean, maybe a millimeter, but maybe not.
I mean, that would have been
First of all, you have to always err with the offense in that situation.
Without a doubt.
So that was a good call in that sense. But technically, I'm not so sure it was definitely a touchdown. But by the way, also the home crowd is always going to get that call, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little of the home field advantage. But at the same time, you have 100 camera angles. You're looking at it. They take it out of the referee's hand. They're doing it some central command center, you know, far away. So they sort of take the referees off the hook. But anyway, that was one of the massive plays in the game. And Rodgers, 10 of 11, 147 yards and 3 touchdowns in the second half. A perfect passer rating, 4 for 4 for 83 yards, 2 touchdowns on 3rd and 4th down when targeting both Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams, who left the game for quite a big chunk in the second half, being evaluated for a concussion. Anyway, so as bad as it was in the first half, is as good as it was for Rodgers in the second half. They didn't have a ton of drives, but they were efficient in the drives they had. And now Rodgers, again, is thinking really big. Nico, can we hear from Al Michaels, please? This is Michaels and Herb Street, who talked with Rodgers earlier that week preparing for the game, and this is what Rodgers said.
We talked to him this week, and I mean, Aaron is very smart. I mean, obviously, whatever you think of him, he's a polarizing figure. We know that. But he's a very well-read guy, very smart, and is very convincing. I mean, we're sitting there going, wait a second. They can't run the table, and then he makes you think they can.
Yeah, by the time we're done, we're like, he makes a good point.
Yeah, right.
They got a shot. If they can win Thursday, man, who knows?
Off you go into the wild blue yonder.
Okay, so running the table. Now, they did win last night. Final score 21-13. I don't know if I mentioned that. Perloff then at Arizona after a 10-day layover. Then the Colts on Sunday Night Football. Then their bye week. Seattle comes in. They go to Miami, to Jacksonville. The Rams come in. They're at the Bills. Finish out the season home against the Dolphins. Is Rodgers talking crazy here? Is this ayahuasca induced? Or do you think there is a chance they could run the table?
I bet against it.
Could they get close?
I don't think so. But a couple reasons. One, they can't really stop the run. And secondly, their offense, it moved last night in the second half, but it's still not easy. Like, it has to be a pinpoint throw. I mean, are those throws, there's like nothing where the receiver's running wide open and it gets hit in stride and runs into the end zone. It's always like, oh, the receiver just missed it and Garrett Wilson catches it behind him and then he deeks out three guys.
Yeah.
Or he makes a one-handed catch in the end zone. It just doesn't feel like there's enough easy offense. The other
Davante Adams' touchdown looked pretty easy.
Okay. Well, yeah, that was true. Also, they have Jeff Ulbrich as the coach and the defensive coordinator, and Todd Downing is calling plays. Yeah, I just don't see this as a run-the-table kind of team. No, I would strongly bet against it if I could.
Yeah, listen, running the table. All right, you know, this is Rodgers. He can be charismatic. He gets the...
He said all this in 2022, and they won 5 of their last 6.
Right. So like he kind of has the receipts, if you're saying. Right?
No, no, but they didn't. They
definitely didn't run the table.
They went 8-9. They beat some easy kind of end of the season teams, and then they had that real game to get in the playoffs, and they lost. So, yeah, I mean, it was totally different because even that, yeah, it was going to be hard for them to get in. Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't see them going from 3-6 to 11-6.
Okay.
And now the question is, even if they got to 10-7, would that get them in? Maybe, but I think they'd be in a tiebreaker situation.
So if you just look at the standings for the AFC, this is basically who's in front of them if you're trying to get to that 7 seed. Sort of like if, you know, we just started the week, but, you know, you get what I'm talking about. So they're 10th place right now in the AFC. In front of them are the Cincinnati Bengals, the Indianapolis Colts, and then the Chargers right now would have the 7 seed. Listen, Cincinnati, because of Joe Burrow, I think you have to give them a little bit of credit. But you're telling me the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, how much magic do they think is left in Joe Flacco? And by the way, if Flacco gets hurt and he's 40 and not really fleet of foot back there, if he gets hurt or something, then you go back to Anthony Richardson, who has one of the lowest completion percentages of a quarterback ever. I mean, and then the Chargers, listen, I thought the Chargers were going to be close to a playoff team, They've got Jim Harbaugh, but I'll tell you what, Justin Herbert is getting hit every which way. He takes a ton of hits, which is crazy because he's a big dude, so he's able to kind of play through this stuff. But their offensive line has been kind of disappointing over the last couple weeks. They got to turn that around. And then you're telling me inside of the top 7, how do you feel about the Denver Broncos? Do you think they're really going to be there at the end?
Yes. Do you see their schedule?
Well, their schedule's easy, but so is the Jets' schedule.
The Broncos is even easier.
But would you rather go with Rodgers as the future Hall of Famer or Bo Nix as a rookie quarterback? Like, I'm just saying, I'm not going to buy the Aaron Rodgers, like, Kool-Aid, hook, line, and sinker. I'm just saying I believe in them more than I do the Dolphins, maybe. I believe in them. I don't know. The Cleveland Browns going to come out of nowhere with Jameis Winston and make this interesting. I get where he's coming from. To stay positive after it couldn't have been lower when they lost 5 in a row.
Totally. But do you look at this like, I just see flaws on this team. Even last night. So the Texans are coming off a short week. They're exhausted. Defense has stopped rushing the passer in the second half. The first half, with Danico Autry especially coming up the middle, like, forget it. They were killers. They left all these points on the table. Kaimir Fairbairn, who's been amazing, could not kick last night. So all
this is a 27-yarder. This guy's like one of the most reliable kickers.
Anything under 60 used to be a given for him. So he chokes last night.
Yeah.
They obviously are a different team without Nico Collins and without Stephon Diggs. So I don't know. That win at home did not blow me away last night. This is a team, you remember who they lost to last week?
The Patriots.
Yeah, this team lost to the Patriots. Like, the flaws are still there. And even last night, there were so many issues. That win is not, like for example, Arizona's coming up. But do I feel confident the Jets can beat that Arizona team? No, not at all.
At least they get them at home.
Yeah, I still
Arizona, like, coming across the country. You're going to have this 10-day layoff. I mean, if you're just looking at it on paper, things are kind of lining up.
Really? You think they're lining up for undefeated?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you look at the schedule, there's no, besides going to Buffalo, where's the really tough road game, you know?
Okay, well, let's look at this.
At the Dolphins, at the Jags. The Jags just lost to the Green Bay Packers, who had to bring Malik Willis in. Now, Willis has been good, but you think that your starting quarterback goes down and you're at home. Maybe you finish that game out. And they couldn't.
Yeah,
Colts have to come to them. Oh, I'm sorry. They're at the Cardinals. I apologize. They are at the Cardinals. Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts, for example, like, man, the Colts will run right down their throat. The Colts going to Flacco saying we want to make the playoffs. But what's wrong with the Colts? I'm surprised. You know, they were pretty good last year. They got a good offensive line. Like, Taylor's coming back. Like, I don't know. That's not a team that I would take lightly at all.
I'm just saying, if Joe Flacco got hurt, then they're going back to Anthony Richardson.
Even him, like, he's won a lot of games. He does not go down. What's his record as a starter?
Anthony Richardson goes down all the time. He's hurt constantly.
But you can't, like, sack him until the last game. Like, what's his record as a starter? It's above 500, I believe.
He's had 10 starts, and he left 3 of them with injury. There is nothing reliable about Anthony Richardson. He might be the most unreliable quarterback. We love watching him play because of the wow plays, but he is in danger of losing his job, period, permanently. They might draft a quarterback next year. That's not a good situation.
Right, but he's 3-3 as a starter and should have been. Should have beaten the Texans. Should have been 4-3. Anyway, I think the Colts are, honestly, I think the Colts are a little better team than the Jets.
Okay, maybe. Fine. Yeah. But it still would be a home game for the Jets for that one.
Yeah.
Again, they go at Arizona. Apologies. They go at Arizona for that. But they do have a 10-day layoff. and Colts, Seahawks at home. Like, this, it's not like you're welcoming in the murderer's row. It's not like you have to play the Lions back-to-back with the Packers, back-to-back with the, you know, Commanders. Like, these are winnable games.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but if you look at the, you can look at anybody's schedule, say, okay, they're going to be 3-point favorites, but you have to do it every week. Like, you can't trip up. That's the problem. Yeah, on paper, they should win all these, but to string them all together, that's what seems really hard to me.
Yeah, it will be. No, it's not going to be easy, that's for sure. 855-212-4227. But I kind of see where they're coming from. They don't feel like they're out of it. I'll give you that.
That is a rally cry. Hey, I feel like we're not out of it. No, I totally see what you're saying.
Listen, baby steps. It's the but Jets, they don't have a lot to get to.
Even saying that, it feels like you're buying a little Aaron Rodgers Kool-Aid.
Here's the one thing that I'll buy about the Rodgers Kool-Aid, okay? He and Devontae Adams look like they had never met in the first half. I put on social media, is Devontae Adams still living at his house? Because this could be a very awkward ride home. He was throwing behind him. They were not on the same page. Like, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Did you guys have you two at one point were the best wide receiver quarterback duo in the NFL. And then in the second half, once Adams came back from the concussion evaluation, he had that easy touchdown. I'm like, man, maybe this is a little more of what it could look like. Now, granted, the Texans were kind of a mess last night. CJ Stroud was on his back all night. And he was running for his life at other points when he actually didn't get sacked. He got sacked 8 times last night.
Well, actually, it's funny, though. Totally. But they were moving the ball well. They just were screwing up left and right.
That's the holding calls. Yeah. The offensive line for the Texans has to get figured out fast. Because you mentioned about the weapons that have gone down. Diggs, Nico Collins. Him getting the ball out quickly is obviously an issue. You know, Tank Dell has a possibility for the big explosive plays, which he actually connected on a big one right after that Garrett Wilson amazing touchdown catch. And he thought, all right, here come the Texans and wrestle a little of the momentum back. But he can't get the ball out fast. It's either Joe Mixon or CJ Stroud running or holding onto the ball.
Yeah.
They got to figure that out because the Texans have a lot of expectations this year.
Yeah, it does seem like T.J. Stroud had trouble particularly reading this defense or figuring out this defense. That being said, they still should have scored more than 7 points in the first half. That was a total. They screwed up that first half. They should have came into the halftime up at least 14-0, and they left a lot of points on the field, so that opened up the Jets, and they were exhausted by the second half. So I'm not going to actually judge the Texans on that. Their defense, remember, they came off. They're on the road on a Thursday night after a Sunday game where they played to the final minute. That is a horrible formula for an injured team. So regardless, like the Texans were clearly, we said it coming in, they're dying to throw away a game. They were just dying, and they had at a certain point you're like, oh man, they're not really engaged in this game. So by the way, the Jets, Devontae Adams, Garrett Wilson, star receivers, right?
Yeah,
awesome. They still, their highest scoring game of the year is still last week's loss to the Patriots at 22. I mean, they are just not an offense. They're on paper, not great.
No.
And Todd Downing, I think I did a better job. They probably should have scored more. We'll talk about the blown touchdown.
Yeah, the Malachi Corley.
If you just pull back,
move.
Like this is just not, it's still a little hard. They had, finally Aaron Rodgers made a running play and they called it back.
But scrambles, the fact, gets crunched.
But the reality is you do not have a quarterback who can move a lot. Even last night was a little better. It's still like, oh man, like there's just like, what if, for example, they go to Miami and Tua is healthy? Like, they can win all these, but to string them all together without a speed bump, a Jetsian speed bump, seems very, very unlikely to me.
You're right. It's weird in a game to have rock bottom and probably the high point of the season all in the same game.
Yeah.
Because that Malachi Corley, if you weren't watching the game last night or you missed the first half, the rookie wide receiver is running in for an untouched touchdown, right? Like, he's running in. He could have maybe walked in. Nobody's around him. Drops the football before the goal line. Pat just shook his head in disgust.
Yeah.
We all wonder when we're watching these games as non-football players, like, how? How? And it was going to be his first career NFL touchdown. I mean, that's not even a good story for the grandkids. I guess maybe because you won the game and if you end up turning around the season, but that is the most embarrassing, boneheaded thing you can do. And it was coming off of the comedy of errors from the Yankee game the night before, and I was like, New York is cursed. But they won the game.
Second time in 4 days in reality, Kyle Pitts, Atlanta, it was very, very close. Like, the officials gave it to Kyle Pitts in a very similar situation. Kyle Pitts, for some reason, just sort of, he kind of got a hit out of his hand, but he got over the end zone for Atlanta and shuffled, did the same thing. This is like the new cool way to get in the end zone is to throw the ball like you don't even care. Like, I don't need this thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Well, the Jets need him.
I'm going to tell you something about Andrew Perloff, sports fan. I was rooting for the Jets after this play last night because I could not deal. Like, Malachi Corley, just the pain he must have been feeling. If they had lost that game, it would have been hard for me to handle. I feel like...
You were feeling for him.
I was feeling so bad for this kid who I kind of rooted for coming in the draft. Small school, real gritty player. And it was the dumbest move ever, but I'm like, oh, don't make him go down like this. Don't make him. So, he was a pariah on the bench right afterwards, too. Nobody was comforting him.
No, they weren't. And he was very, it seemed very alone over there, and I'm sure he felt very alone. But this is what I never understand about these particular plays, especially with wide receivers, even running backs, tight ends. It doesn't matter. Any skill position player. When they do their work on the sidelines, they know exactly where the sideline is. They're toe tapping over there, toe drag swag. It seems like the awareness on the sidelines at times is otherworldly for some of these receivers. Yet you would mess up the goal line. Like, how is that different? You have this great awareness to make sure every big toe is in on the sideline, yet you would drop the ball at the goal line. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I've seen it a lot this year. Guys are right after they get in the end zone or flinging it out.
Well, usually you see it in college.
And by the way, after that, Devontae Adams runs in the end zone and puts it up over his head like Statue of Liberty. I'm like, dude, just run the football.
That
in.
Was
like,
dumb, too.
Especially on a night where a guy had fumbled at the end zone and he's celebrating like Deion Sanders running in. I'm surprised. I guess, and listen, I can't relate. I've never run a touchdown in the NFL. The adrenaline must be out of control. But if we see it again on Sunday, I'm just going to call for an investigation. Like, the NFL needs to. Players need to. Every coach should be showing this film before the game. I would think a coach, I was also thinking about this, does a coach actually bother? Be like, would you actually bother? Hey, guys, when you're running to the end zone, remember not to fumble at the one in celebration. Like, that's something, like, you don't say, right? Like, you don't coach that up because it's so obvious.
I think now you do.
You better. I want that in every locker room in the NFL, a video of Malachi Corley, because it's too emotionally draining to see me see it happen. If I lost a bet on that or lost an over, wouldn't you just be so heartbroken?
Well, you know our guy, Nick Costos.
Oh,
he's going to join us later.
Yeah, but he's got 1,000 anytime TDs out there.
Anytime TD Malachi Corley, and he's on social media going, yes, bet cash, and then just, oh no. Nick's going to join us around 8:20 Eastern time, as he does every Friday, to help us win some money. Not on a Malachi Corley anytime touchdown. That's a loser. But other picks that Nick has are awesome. We have a lot to get to. Now I'm curious, because we've done this. You and I have never done this before, but we've seen it. Premature celebrations. There's a long list of those in sports.
Well,
I've got a couple off the top of my head that I'm thinking of.
Eagles have a big one. DeSean Jackson fumbled the one, and it stung for a decade.
I thought he was trending on Twitter last night.
Yeah, no, that was probably the most famous one, but there have been many, many other ones.
I have one in my head from the Olympics that's really famous. We'll get to that.
I'd love to hear it.
855-212-4227. Yeah, premature celebrations in sports with the Malachi Corley. He wasn't even doing anything cool. At least high step in there if you're going to drop the ball at the one-yard line on a walk-in touchdown. Make it a real highlight. All right, lots to do, including more to wrap up from the World Series. Freddie Freeman is actually Kirk Gibson, Perloff. You want to take that away from him? Well, I've got more evidence for you that he was indeed extremely hurt throughout the series.
Oh, my God. No way.
Yes. Yes way. And how many teams do you think have already reached out to Juan Soto? Because I've got a number for you. 855-212-4227. Get it started with the Thursday night football game. We talked about, are you starting to believe, could the Jets be a playoff team? 855-212-4227.
All right, Maggie.
I'm going to give you the floor here, Pearl.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't after last night, because I bet against our guy Aaron Rodgers, who actually, let's see, Aaron Rodgers, I had him under, I think it was 245.
Yep.
Nice night. It was actually pretty fun to see. He was throwing those dimes out there. But I was on Prize Picks like I am every day, and you are every day. I can't wait to jump back in. It's the best app with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in winnings. Prize Picks, it's made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. And the thing is, Maggie, it's like daily. So I am, even when I miss one, I'm right back on there. Simple to use. Two or more players across any sport pick more or less on their projection, and you can win up to 100 times your money.
I got one for you tonight. Yeah. Can I interest you in a Ashton Jeanty over 184.5? That's kind of high. I might actually take less than, but also pair that with a little Domantas Sabonis over 19.5, more than 19.5.
I will not allow you to do under on Ashton Jeanty.
By the way, just on the Prize Picks app right now, Ashton Jeanty, his like avatar is like Michael Myers. Just to keep following, he is. You can't kill this guy. Oh. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MANDP, MANDP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. All right, Maggie, you promised a classic celebration too early, and I've been trying to think of what you might be referring to, Olympics. To me, there's nothing more painful. Last night, Malachi Corley, Jets rookie, dropped the ball in celebration at the one-yard line, cost the Jets a touchdown. Took forever to figure out, but the ball rolled slowly out of the back of the end zone and was therefore a fumble that went out of the back of the end zone and goes to the defense. Why? I actually saw it in real time. I don't know why the Texans didn't see him pick up the ball. That was kind of weird. The whole thing was surreal. It felt like a Halloween night Jets play. But anyway,
I thought
that
Aaron Rodgers was going to get into a freaking Uber after that. Just get me out of here. Antonio Brown style. Remember we brought back highlight / low light of Antonio Brown tapping out and quitting. That happened in MetLife Stadium when he was a member of the Bucks. I thought maybe Rodgers like, you know what? Peace. Like, what am I going to do?
They showed him on a touchscreen right after that play, and he was actually looking, all right, well, if I go on Uber, the Uber XL is 16 minutes away.
Can I get changed and get
Can
out
I
of
get
there?
To a Halloween party?
Jay, dress as John Wick. We were talking, so early, two early celebrations that end up costing either you or your team throughout sports history. The one that I remember, and I wonder if everyone else is going to remember this. This is Olympic snowboarder Lindsay Jacob Ellis, not exactly a household name, but she started celebrating before the finish line and cost herself a gold medal.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Why that stands out so much is, first of all, like, wow. But also, you know, gold medal, and I think she ended up getting the bronze, actually. I don't even know if she got silver. I have to double check the actual finish here. But how much money do you cost yourself in future endorsements? Gold medal versus any other color of metal. I mean, you might be talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars because that's kind of what you have if you're an Olympian. You're not making life-changing money just as being a skier. You've got to win a gold. Then you're set up for a while. Speaking engagements and Wheaties boxes. I don't know.
Did she get hurt too? It wasn't just like she celebrated to her. Like, it was a total disaster, as I recall. Like,
I don't think she got hurt.
I thought she fell.
No. She just like slowed down to celebrate and just watched two other women go zooming past her.
Hey, Bogus.
Oh, so she pulled a 1 yard line.
Yes. I also remember not a household name, but there was but she was being pushed like by the coverage. Like,
yes.
She was a big name in the coverage. And I don't remember why. I don't know if she was.
She's blonde and cute.
No, but like, was she trying to win a gold for the first time? Like, was it like, I don't, there was a story about her. So then it's like, oh, she's going to win, and then she messed it up.
So, and she didn't medal in subsequent Olympic Games until, I guess, Vancouver, I don't know. She's like one of the most decorated snowboarders on the women's side of all time, but that's...
That sucks.
That stinks. Yeah. Again, and I think it means more, like Malachi Corley, listen... Terrible moment last night. He's a rookie. He could play for the next 10 years in the NFL. He could end up signing a big contract. His career's not over. For her, that's like, you got to think about that for 4 years. He's got to think about it until they play the Cardinals in 10 days.
Well, Corley did get on the field, but I don't believe he got a target. So I was wondering, is Aaron Rodgers going to freeze him out ad infinitum? Like, does he get back into the good graces ever? He looked really fast. You know, the thing about him is he's big but not fast. He looked really fast on that run. I was like, ooh, this guy looks like a stud. But you already have, like, more money spent on your wide receiver room than, like, I've ever seen. So why is Corley in there anyway?
I don't know. I mean, hearing Tom Brady now talk about this kind of stuff, if it was Brady, I think he'd be gone till, like, week 17.
Yeah. And you're right. I think Aaron Rodgers was not feeling that. That last night was the first time I think we saw Aaron Rodgers actually have like a two-headed receiver monster in Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams. You started the show by saying, you know, Aaron Rodgers thinks he can run this easy schedule. It does seem unlikely to me. I think that they're going to lose a game that they should win because that's what the Jets do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't think Aaron Rodgers can move, and I don't think this having your new head coach be the defensive coordinator at the same time. I feel like their coaching staff's a little shaky.
Yeah, I mean, they got to CJ Stroud last night, though. He was on his back. And I think that has a lot to do with the Texans' offensive line being all of a sudden very leaky.
But if you're going to rank the 32 coaching staffs, where would you put Jeff Ulbrich, Todd Downing as the play-calling combo slash head coach?
Well, the Panthers are still out there. No, I don't know. I don't know enough about them. Todd Downing, we know from the Titans, but that was never a wild offer.
It doesn't feel like. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying kind of low. I think Jeff Ulbrich is probably gone after this year, most likely. And
I mean, he's coached for four games, and we don't know anything about him. Has it been that many games, actually? Yeah, he was 0-3, and then they won last night, so four games.
I don't know. It just feels generally like the fact that Rodgers can't really move. Like, again, is the offense ever look easy? Does it ever look like, little throw? It's like he throws the ball, a beautiful Rodgers pass, 25 yards to the sideline that Garrett Wilson picks right out of the cornerback's hands and gets the first. I don't know. I just think that there's going to be a game that they should win that they will lose. And at Arizona, they'll probably be dogs in that game. Won't they be probably 1.5? The Arizona's pretty good right now, believe it or not. I am not so high on the Jets' chances to make the playoffs, which is hardly hot take at 3-6.
855-212-4227. There is a Texan side of this, too, which is they're in first place in their division, but they don't look great at all. Andrew Bogish is here. We have had some CJ Stroud sound for you, but Bogish is here with headlines. What's up?
Good morning, everybody. These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MNP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. The good news for Malachi Corley, the Jets rallying for a 21-13 win over the Texans last night. So interim coach Jeff Ulbrich could have some fun post-game with that goal line fumble.
First of all, you can't do that. And second of all, you owe us one.
They owe him one. He owes them one, I should say. The Jets correctly scored 3 second-half touchdowns, all on passes from Aaron Rodgers, 2 to Garrett Wilson, including the remarkable one-handed go-ahead grab early in the fourth quarter. The Jets snapping a 5-game skid by handling C.J. Stroud for the second straight season. The Texans QB just 11 for 30, 191 yards, no touchdowns, sacked 8 times last night.
There's plays I got to make, throws I got to make. You know, times I got to sit in the pocket and just trust my guys, so I really point the finger at me and realize, you know, I got to be better as a football player.
The Texans' next game is next Sunday night against the Lions. They could have Nico Collins back from his hamstring injury for that one. Rams receiver Puka Nacua hurt his right knee in practice yesterday, but it's reportedly not serious. But that is the same knee that already cost Nacua 5 games this season. So the Clippers have not won yet in their new arena. The Suns have now won there twice in 8 days.
Harden dribbles it off his foot. It goes right to Nurkic. Now the Suns with numbers. Dunn gets it ahead to Durant. Left corner, Booker all alone for 3. He got it. Devin Booker with 32 points on the night. And the Suns are back up 3. 108-105. Just over 5 minutes left to go here at Intuit Dome.
That's John Bloom on Suns Radio. Devin Booker putting Phoenix ahead for good after they trail by 21. He finished with 40 in a 125-119 win. Now, it is early, but 40 points is the early scoring record in Intuit Dome, giving Booker the high mark in now 5 different gyms around the league. Phoenix, of course, plus Boston, Utah, Indiana, and now this new one in L.A. The Spurs smack the Jazz 106-88 with Victor Wembanyama posting 25 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks, and 5 steals in just 33 minutes. And the Bucks are 1-4 after a 126-99 thumping in Memphis. We are already doing baseball hot stove. The Braves are sending outfielder Jorge Soler to the Angels for right-handed starter Griffin Canning. Second time that Soler has been traded since signing a three-year, $42 million deal with the Giants last offseason. And hockey last night, career goal number 858 plus two assists for Alex Ovechkin in the Caps 6-3 home win over Montreal. Guys, back to you.
All right, I got a spread. Got a spread on Jets-Cardinals. You guys want to guess?
Two.
It's a game next week, but who to?
Who's favored?
Cardinals.
It's funny that we have to ask.
No, it's apropos.
Oh, okay. Then I'll do Cardinals minus 1.5.
It's Jets plus, Jets are plus one and minus one at a different, DK has a plus one, and then Caesars has them at minus one. So it's, all over the place right now to open up. And actually, I definitely can't bet on this. I just looked at my DraftKings app, and there's nine week 11 games next week, and that game is not on there. But it seems like this is a toss-up. So the Jets, Jets at Cardinals, that's a toss-up. So we were talking about the Jets' schedule. They're not, like, right now, they don't feel like they're going to be easy wins. So that means they're going to be close games. And can they string together all these close wins? I just feel like they're going to trip up and do something Jetsian. And you know what I'm basing that on? 50 years of NFL history.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, I got, you know, we're talking about receipts. I have receipts. I have a butt fumble as evidence.
Oh, that was long ago.
That was long ago. But I have Malachi Corley dropping the ball to one. How about that? That was 8 hours ago.
I can't believe that he did that. I mean, how did the fans just not get up and leave at that point?
Big win, though. So, you know what? Let's be positive about the Jets today. Like Aaron Rodgers.
I said I can see it. You can, maybe not running the table, but I see why they're optimistic. I do. I think Rodgers is that way. But think about it. You need a little time to get used to a new head coach. You need a little time to get Devontae Adams fully worked into the offense. I mean, luckily they got a new kicker. That helped last night. By the way, that guy, the first extra point that he tries, was the extra point? Yeah. The first extra point he tries doinks off the side but goes in. I mean,
that was the tide turning.
Maybe that was
it. That was it. Much, you know, it's the opposite of your boy Capobianco harming Mookie Betts did not trigger a Yankee rally, but Riley Patterson doinking and in, that is the turning point for the Jets. That's how they went out.
Garrett Wilson catch, but yeah, maybe that too.
Have you ever heard of that guy, by the way? Riley Patterson, is that his name?
He I had heard of before. The other guy they signed this week, I had never, ever knew existed.
Usually you know the journeyman kicker that gets signed. You're like, oh, I remember him back in New Orleans 3 years ago or something. I did not know. I didn't remember the Jets guys.
Riley Patterson was the Lions kicker for most of the year last year, wasn't he?
He was?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was,
no, because Bates is a rookie.
Yeah, no,
I thought
got
they
hurt.
Had a.
The other guy's last veteran. Name starts with a B.
Badgley, but yeah, he got. No, there was a year where he got hurt, like, and they had to replace him, and they.
That's true.
And that's what they didn't. Remember, they didn't kick field
against
goals partly because of that.
Yeah. So last year, Riley Patterson was the place kicker for Detroit. Hit 15 of 17 field goals and 35 of 37 extra points.
And he's not there because they just went back to the other guy?
Well, they drafted Jake Bates.
Oh, right. They drafted him. He's a rookie.
Wait. And then did he go to Cleveland in the middle?
He kicked, I think, a couple games for Cleveland in the beginning of last year. So I think that's where he started because it does say here. No, he went to Cleveland.
Well, we've got to make sure we get this 100% correct because I'm sure everyone listening to us from coast to coast wants to know exactly where Riley Patterson been and where he has kicked.
I think he's a fake person, this Riley Patterson. It's like you made up a kicker name.
It sounds like someone made up who goes to Notre Dame. That's Riley Leonard. But this sounds also like someone who goes to Notre Dame.
Definitely.
I was thinking about Kaimi Fairbairn. And how this is just one of those names you only know if you're a football fan, but you definitely know. It's such Kai Fairbairn. Yeah. Like, I would pick that guy off the street. And he's just one of those people that a regular person would just have no clue. But for football people, he's been in our lives for a while.
But do you know where all the apostrophes and I's and vowels go in those two names?
No shot.
Okay.
I'm just going with Kai.
The last one is straight, right? Fairbairn, right?
Or no, it's Bairn. There's an extra I in there.
Oh, God.
And the first name is, K-A-I... apostrophe I-M-I, right, Bogus?
Are there that many I's in his first name?
Kai Emi.
Okay.
In my mind, it would just be Scott Hansen from Red Zone saying his name for the end of time. Scott's got that real thick Michigan accent.
He probably will be. He's 30 right now, and he's an awesome kicker until last night. Like, great this year. So we probably got 10 more years, so it will feel like Scott had to do this till the end of time.
By the way, I just found his full name, his full legal name. Absolutely mind-blowing.
You want to go for it?
No.
You have no chance.
No shot whatsoever. His name, by the way, is John Christian Fairbairn. But he's Hawaiian.
Yeah.
So his Hawaiian name, it's Kaimi no Ialua Koamika. And then like 18 other syllables.
I mean, that's not bad, Pat.
No, but you
are you anywhere close?
Right?
I have no idea. It's like literally his the name that becomes Kaimi is like, I'm not kidding, it's probably 14 syllables.
Well, he's awesome either way. Last night, not so much. 855-212-4227. All right, I got an update for you on Freddie Freeman. Perloff was trying to throw water, cold water, on Freeman being Kirk Gibson-like and how injured he was, yet becoming World Series MVP. I've got more evidence for you that this guy is superhuman.
He might be superhuman, but the analogy will not work, and there's nothing you can do to convince me of this.
Hold on. Hold on 1 minute. 855-212-4227. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Now, Perloff, you've been willing to give the Dodgers their flowers. You're a massive Mookie Betts fan. We know this.
Shohei fan, too.
Of course. But you were hesitant to really give Freddie Freeman his full due of being a injured player coming through in a very clutch way. You said the Kirk Gibson stuff did not apply because looked too healthy.
Yeah. He was basically stealing bases by the end of the series.
Okay. What if I told you, 30 for 30 voice, what if I told you that not only was Freddie Freeman dealing with a bum ankle that did seem to get a little better as the series went on, he also had torn rib cartilage, according to an article by Jeff Passan. So he was playing this entire postseason with broken rib cartilage, an injury that generally sidelines players for months at a time. Despite that, he was able to slug his way to a World Series MVP award.
Mm-hmm.
Now will you put him in the same category as Kirk Gibson?
No, of course not.
I mean, why not?
Rib cartilage. Because Gibson had, I'm reading what Gibson had pulled his left hamstring at a swollen right knee, wasn't supposed to play, limped out with two outs in the ninth inning and had one at bat and then basically went away. Like that, Freddie Freeman, he was limping earlier, especially in the LCS. But then by the end, he beat out, it's the key play other than the home runs, was beating out a fielder's choice. Like he was nothing, like Kirk Gibson was a shell of a man. Freddie Freeman was not that.
He was gutting it out, dude. That's what makes this even better.
But you have to, if he was smart and he really cared about his legacy, he would have claimed that injury, sidelined him after the Grand Slam, just leave.
No, apparently his father, Freddie Freeman's dad, who's oftentimes sitting in the first couple rows behind home plate, so he kind of becomes part of the broadcast, he said, sit out because of the broken rib cartilage.
Yeah,
he told him to sit down. He said, Dad, no. I mean, this is legend.
Honestly, don't forget the
fractured finger that he played through and the ankle, not to mention his son, that's obviously way, way super serious. So I don't want to even include it here in this stuff, but this is all stuff that adds up to the legend and the lore. Acknowledge it, Perloff.
I mean, it was you gotta leave after the Grand Slam. Otherwise, it's going to be remembered. Just he was awesome. I mean, he hit a home run in 5 straight World Series games. It's never been done.
Yeah, and a walk-off Grand Slam in Game 1 had never been
done. Yeah, yeah. No, he was too good. I'm sorry.
Too good?
Does this have anything to do with the fact that he was a Phillies killer, so you don't want to give him the credit?
No,
Nico's got it.
No. I'm a sucker for the Freddie Freeman lost his mom when he was in Little League. I've watched the Freddie Freeman doc. I have no problem. It's not a Chipper Jones situation. I understand what you're saying. We all hate Chipper Jones, Mets fans, Phillies fans. We can all agree that guy was a pain in the neck.
yeah, him naming his kid Freddie Shea Freeman, because he owned Shea Stadium didn't help.
It doesn't raise to the level of pure Braves hatred for me. No, I just think, Freddie Freeman, he doesn't need the Kirk Gibson thing. He can say, I won the great World Series performances on my own. Not because I was injured, just because I was awesome.
Great World Series performance, .. And he was hurt. It adds to it, guys. It does. It separates him. It puts him in a different category, different class. You got to hand it to
him. Do you know how many bats Kirk Gibson had in the 1988 World Series?
One.
Yes. One at bat.
Okay,
he came in, hit that home run, and went away.
But here's the thing. They might not win the World Series without Freddie Freeman. So he had to keep playing. Shohei was hurt.
I know. I understand. I'm being facetious, of course. He wasn't as injured as Kirk Gibson. Kirk Gibson had both legs hurt.
Man.
Both legs. He hobbled out. He could barely get around. He had a home run with pure upper body strength and tenacity. It was, and I'm sorry, Freeman, not so much.
If Perloff had torn rib cartilage, we wouldn't see him for 6 months. Mm.
With the second you hear your quarterback has a rib injury, you're like, oh, he'll be fine. Rib injuries, that's not the same. I mean, Kirk Gibson was basically had crutches to get to the plate.
Freddie Freeman, he's still out there. He was still playing in the field, too, by the way, with the torn rib cartilage because Shohei had a DH. This moves him up on my list.
No, listen, I'm not saying anything bad about Freddie Freeman. He was amazing, but he's not Kirk Gibson. Mm. He's not Willis Reed. He's not the third person in that. Remember when Willis Reed came out limping against Will Chamberlain? Do you remember when Kirk Gibson came out against Eckersley? Nobody's going to say, and then Freddie Freeman.
I think this gets him in the conversation.
Do you guys think that he belongs in the same thing? Willis Reed, Kirk Gibson, Freddie Freeman. Who doesn't fit that?
Okay, but now that you know about the torn rib cartilage, broken rib cartilage, and the fact that I think it's better because Willis Reed, that's one game. Kirk Gibson is one at bat. Willis Reed, I think, what did he play, 15, 20 minutes of that game? He didn't play the whole game. The fact that Freeman gutted it out in a five-game series and continue to produce.
There's a whole different. Amazing. There's a whole different category for those guys. Guys who had injuries and performed. There's a million. It's the NFL. Think about the NFL. How many guys that got out there and heroic? Ronnie Lott cut off a finger to play in the NFC title game.
Freddie Freeman would cut off a finger.
Yeah, right.
Is it in baseball, the conversation?
Baseball. I mean, listen.
Noodle
Shohei
on that
Ohtani
for a second.
Had to hold on to his little whoopee. Brace
oh my God.
While he's out there. Don't even compare it to football. Yeah, let's not do that.
His shoulder?
His dislocated shoulder. Freddie Freeman should have milked his injuries the way Shohei milked his shoulder separation.
Oh,
fair.
Crazy
and then
tale.
We would have had more empathy for him.
Oh my goodness. All right, wait. Let's put a pin in that for a second because I'm told on the line is D in Portland who wants to make a show bet with us.
Good morning.
Hey, D.
Yes, I do. Once again, look at that. One game they've won, and the Jets, you guys are already getting, they're going to make the playoffs. Didn't we just, they just lost to the Patriots a week ago.
D, don't let me in with Maggie on this one. That's
Maggie, I'm sorry. That was you. I didn't know who it was because I turned it on late, but I kind of got the vibe that you guys were already. Anyways, I looked at the schedule, and yeah, they do have easy opponents, but in NFL, you know, they're not just going to lay down. So I will bet you guys, if I lose, I will send you guys a Rudy Fernandez Blazer jersey if I win. If I lose, you guys can send me whatever with you guys' assigned names if you guys want to.
Wow. I didn't think today was going to start with a Rudy Fernandez option. D.
That thing's going to be worth a lot. A lot of money here soon.
You're on, pal. I'm taking it. Mark it. Boyle, right now, 6:52 a.m. on the East Coast, D in Portland and Maggie Gray now have a show bet. Jets make the playoffs. I'll send you something cool. And if I win, you send me a Rudy Fernandez Portland Trailblazers jersey. Yes.
All right.
Wait, can I just suggest alternate stakes for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
D, what if the Jets don't make the playoffs, Maggie has to spend 48 hours in a dark room?
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the darkness thing. I'm going to come out a different woman in like a bad way. It won't be cool. I'm not going to find anything in there.
Maggie has to go to Peru and do ayahuasca.
Oh, no. Imagine I pack my bags like, bye, family. I'm off for a mind-altering spiritual experience in the Costa Rican rainforest.
Maggie has to appear on the Pat McAfee Show once a week for the rest of time.
I don't think I'd survive. D, you're on, pal. Appreciate you calling in. No, I can't do the darkness stuff. First of all, I'm afraid of the dark.
So who has a Rudy Fernandez jersey? I'm like, Rudy Fernandez? He started, let's see, 10 games in his four-year NBA career.
If you could get any Blazers jersey, who would it be? I've got my top two just off the top of my head. One would be Arvydas Sabonis, and the other would be Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah.
I'd also take a Bonzi Wells.
Dame Lillard would be nice, too.
I was going to say, you wouldn't want Dame.
Dame is
I'll take a Lillard. I feel like everyone's got it, though. I want something a little off the beaten path.
LaMarcus Aldridge?
He's not really my kind of guy.
What's wrong with LaMarcus Aldridge?
Great career. But give me Sabonis.
Sabonis. He's your kind of guy?
Totally.
Eastern Bloc dominating, came to the NBA 10 years too late.
Listen, I think he would have come earlier if he could have. It was the Cold War. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including a crazy declaration.